Good, welcome. Today our discussion is surrounding body image and different aspects of body image in our society. And I just want to start off with the definition of body image and what to expect in our discussion about it. The definition is the subjective picture of a mental image of one's own body. It's the way a person sees themselves compared to the standards set by society. With that being said, we all are from different cultures here and different backgrounds, and I do think that body image plays a cultural influences plays a role in the way we see our bodies. And for me, growing up in Jamaica as a tall girl, there was not a lot of tall girls growing up, and I felt like I stood out a little bit growing up. Not a lot of people looked like me. I'm from Jamaica, and you know, we have a lot of curvaceous women, and those are the images that I saw. I never saw a lot of girls that looked like me. So I felt like I developed a little issue regarding my body image, but it was masked from me playing sports and being involved in different activities. With that being said, any of you, if you want to elaborate, how has your culture, the way you grew up, played a part in the way you see your body and the portrayal of body image in the society or culture that you grew up in?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I could definitely touch on this topic. I grew up in Miami, Florida, very specifically in Kendall in Miami. And it was a very heavily populated Latin community. So, you know, I'm just doing my thing. I'm in school. And I got told a lot while I was a kid, like, you need to get a tan. You're too white. You're too pale. And I didn't know this. I didn't know I was too pale until I went to school. And then the kids that had like naturally tan skin, you know, they were Hispanic. They let me know almost on a daily basis that I was way too white. I couldn't do anything about it. Because if I go in the sun, I would just burn or get freckles. So it's not like it's going to happen for me anyway. So I developed something with that for sure. I was also told I was too skinny. You know, same thing with you, Keisha. I don't know if you were told or if you just developed it, you know, in your subconscious on your own, but I was definitely told I was too bony because I was pretty thin growing up. So that carried with me a long time. I remember being a kid and not wanting to wear a bathing suit without a shirt on, and different things like that, or maybe not wanting to wear shorts because of how pale my legs were. So, but what was interesting, I think, is that I didn't feel this on my own. This was something that, you know, was told to me by other kids.
Okay. What about you, Mina? Mina, you grew up in Nigeria. How have growing up in Nigeria influenced the way you see yourself? Or did it play a role? How different was it growing up?
Well, so like you rightly said, I'm from Nigeria. I was actually born in the UK, but grew up in Nigeria. So for me, body image has just been, first of all, I would just say that I'm so thankful for the role my mom played in, you know, just helping me appreciate myself, you know, and teach me about confidence and all of that, because like you rightly said, you know, in Nigeria as well, being I think Caribbeans and Africans have a lot of similarities in terms of how we view body. So for us, for me back home, being skinny, I sort of looked upon as, oh, are you sick? Is something wrong with you? Like, do you have HIV or something? Like, why are you like that? You know, and being curvaceous and big, just it's a sign of good life. You know, it means that you're healthy. Things are well with you. You're. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you. But when you're skinny, it's like, okay, there must be something wrong there. Definitely, I did get a lot of, you know, questions. One funny story was, I had actually visited home. Well, a while back, this was many, many years back, but I was, you know, grown at that point. But I visited home, and, you know, some kid that had grown up, you know, in the neighborhood saw me, and he, you know, he came all the way to me. He's like, is everything okay? Like, he had this genuine concern look on his face. And so I was like, you know, he called me aside, and he was like, hey, I just really want to check in with you. So I felt really, I was like, getting worried, like, what's going on? Is everything okay with you? He's like, no, I just want to just really check with you. Are you okay? Is everything, you know, what's going on? Are you sick? I'm like, sick? No, I'm not sick. Like, what? He's like, no, because you're, so I was like, really? I'm not sick. I'm just, this is just me, you know, and I eat a lot, guys. I do eat a lot. But it's just me. Like, I don't know. It's just how, you know, my body is. And I got teased a lot. That's all I'm trying to say. But the good thing, though, and that's why I always say parents or those who are in charge of, you know, kind of laying a foundation for young people play a very important role in how they see themselves. Because, you know, in my house, my mom never, you know, she never made any comment or let us feel as if, you know, we were different or there was something wrong with us.
All right, guys. So, like Reginald, can I call you Reggie?
Reginald's fine.
Yes, sir. So, with that being said about the Western society, right, and you were talking about how they're hyper-focused on body image, we have surgeries, and that's not just with women. I know some guys are getting surgery to put in muscles, getting calf muscles and everything else. Do you feel that social media has an influence on our body, how we perceive our bodies?
Well, for me, it definitely has an impact on how we see our bodies, because on social media, it feels like a competition to see who has the most perfect body, men and women. So there are people that, you know, there are people that, you know, they look fit, six-pack abs, chiseled chest, big arms, and then on as far as men are concerned, and as far as the women, so big breasts, big hips, big thighs, you know what I'm saying, you know, flat stomach, fat butt. So, like, I feel like it's a competition to see who has the most perfect body. And then when they're seeing that constantly over and over and over and over again, your body you start looking at your body and you're like, is that how I'm supposed to look? Or is this how I'm supposed to look? Because I don't look like that. You'll look at your body and be like, I don't look like that. So then you feel the need to look like that because that's all you see on social media, on social media, instead of knowing like, hey, this is the way my body is built. And understanding that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. What do you ladies, what do you think? Is it a positive or is it a negative? Can it be both positive and negative, what you see on social media?
I think it can be both positive and negative. For me, of course, I would love to have the mind of the 44-year-old woman and the confidence of the 44-year-old woman that I am today and the spirit, but then have that 24-year-old body again.
Right.
But, you know, it's really not going to happen. So I think that it's important to always have a replacement in your mindset so that, yes, I see all these images, I'm on Instagram, you know, I'm watching TV shows, whatever, and YouTube. So I see it all, but I'd be lying to myself to believe it all. And a lot of people, they'll say that they did not have surgery because they don't consider what they're doing as drastic surgery. Right. But they are having enhancements, they are having things done. There are angles, there is photoshopping. So I just think that there is, you know, yes, there are people that look exactly like how maybe we want to look, but it's very few. It's very rare. When you're going out to Costco, Publix, taking your kids to school, when you're going to work, you're not seeing these bodies. You're not seeing this body and this beauty. You're seeing regular people that are just trying to make it in life. And then you look at yourself and you're like, I'm okay. I look good. You know. So I think that we just have to wake up in the morning and just really send the body love. Send the body approval, send the body appreciation for what you have. I'm going to be 54 in 10 years and look back and be like, I wish I looked like I did when I was 44. So why always live in the future and the past? We just live in the present and we just appreciate what we have. And then with the understanding that yeah, maybe these people that they do have these great bodies that I would love to look like, do I really want to spend 6 hours a day doing that?
True.
Do I really want to eat that cream? No, because if I did, I would.
True.
Which is even more reason to just say, hey, I'm grateful for what I have.
Right.
If I wanted it to be a little bit better, quote unquote better or enhanced, then, you know, then that's up to me to do that. But to just know that, having the confidence in what I have is a lot more important. I think it does affect us though, but we just have
yes.
to always have that replacement thought in our head that, okay, well.
True. Thank you. Anybody else want to add to that?
I think low-key.
Go ahead, Shelby.
Instagram affects the way, sometimes it doesn't affect me, but I can just see how it can affect the way we see ourselves. There's so much, you know, people don't really understand that a lot of these are Photoshop, and until you can understand this, that what we see is not really what it is, I think we'll feel a little bit better about ourselves, because I don't know, sometimes when I see those stars without makeup, I'm like, damn, I look good. Because you see them on Instagram and you were like, oh my God, they look so beautiful. I want to be like that. And then you see the makeup come off, you're like, damn, I look good. So you just have to know that this is what we're looking at is not what's necessarily real. And if
right.
we can understand that, we'll be in a better place about the way we feel about ourselves.
Right. Shelby, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, for my own mental health, that's one of the reasons why, like, I kind of try to stay away from social media. I really just got Instagram maybe a month or two ago, and that was for a business I was starting up. And it's so freeing to not even see these images. Like, yeah, I'm still exposed to TV and movies, but it's not like where my mind is tricking myself to think that everyday people are looking like models.
Right.
It's free. And so, I don't know. If anybody wants a mental break, I mean, I would say take a break from social media, because, I don't know, it could poison the mind.
Right. Right.
It's true.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. So I guess it's almost the same question. How does the media affect your perception of beauty? I think that was almost along the same lines we were talking about. Not just body, but even how we look with the makeup you were saying. All these challenges that are going on now, was it don't touch, whatever it is that they
don't rush.
Makeup to makeup.
Don't rush.
So have y'all see the difference of people without no makeup, and then all of a sudden now they look like a completely different person? So
yeah, it's almost like catfishing, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, it you don't know who, if you meet somebody out as a man meeting somebody out, obviously, although the guys do it as well. But if you meet somebody out, you don't know who you'll be waking up with the next day.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think for a lot of men, it is, it angers them. You know, I've heard personal stories of just that happening, you know, where they meet a woman, say, for instance, in a nightclub and might have gone home with her. And even before he got to whatever point, you know, the things that the person was on, even taking off from their bodies, because now you have enhancement for butt,
yes,
enhancement for breast. So you don't even have to get surgery. You can literally buy an underwear. So it's crazy. And I'm like, why? Why even go through all that? Because if you can't accept this, then I'm just not the right one for you.
Right. So I don't know if any of y'all have friends that go to bed with their lashes on or makeup on when they're with somebody, because, or even with their wigs on, because they don't want the men, they're natural. Do y'all have friends like that? That would do that?
Yeah.
Of course I have friends like that. But I do. That all boils down to, it's a negative image of their own bodies. They don't love their bodies. They don't want themselves. It all ties into that whole body image thing, you know, not being satisfied with yourself, and always striving to be something different. I mean, it all boils down to you just being loving who you are. And I think
right.
a lot of it has to do with not loving yourself. And then
right.
you try to put all these things on to cover up. I mean, what's wrong with just having a natural butt? It's all good.
But everybody has big butts now, so everybody wants that butt. So, I mean,
I don't know. It's like, I do not. It's just, it's ridiculous. I just think it's exhausting. I just think it's exhausting to kind of like have to deal with all of that. Naturally, I'm not a makeup person per se. Like, I would just go lip gloss and I'm out the door. My mom's been visiting for a couple of months now. Thank God, COVID-19, she hasn't gone back, so that's a blessing. But one of the things I was going out one day, and she's like, "You're going out like that?" I'm like, yeah. And she's like, "Put something on. Like, you can't just walk out like that." I'm like, "Why?" I said, "Well, I don't have the time. I mean, I'm on the go, go, go. I don't have time to start, you know, putting makeup on, or I don't. First of all, I really." Like, I just, and so I'm just like so comfortable. It just boils down to just having that confidence in yourself and having that love, you know, for who you are. And just like Renee said, if you don't like this, then I mean, I love myself, you know, I could, really, I could play with myself and be like, oh, you know, I don't have to, you know, I don't have to put myself through that trauma of, you know, having to dress. I mean, it's good to look good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes you want to just dress up and, you know, apply some makeup and do all of that. But I'm not going to go out of my way and kill myself to, you know, just be what I'm not, you know, because at the end of it, I just think it's ridiculous when, you know, like you go to bed in your, you know, with your eyelashes and wig and all that. Like, seriously, like, I mean, don't you want to be free? Like, for me, once I get home, like, I want to take this ponytail off and just like, I don't want nothing. Like, so I can't even imagine having to go to bed in all of that, you know,
right.
Like that. So it's just, crazy. I don't know. Just really quickly, actually, does something happen? Because I just recently wrote a book that was published, and I sent a picture out to someone, and I said, so she's like, "Oh, is that the picture you used?" I'm like, "Yes." "You didn't even put makeup on." Like, I'm like, "Listen, that's why, that's me. Like, if you see the picture on the back cover, that, I mean, that's exactly how I look. You know, I'm not going to put a picture there that when someone's like, "Oh, who's that? Is that you in there?" No, because I did that intentionally. You know, I was like, this is me. And I'm talking about, you know, not letting society dictate how you live your life and all of that. So, and that's just me. It's that I'm not going to go being someone else because I want to, you know, just please others or, you know, make a sale or something. If I do that, then I'm not preaching a message that I'm sort of like following. I'm not practicing what I preach. You know?
Authenticity, yes.
It's you're doing great life affirmations for parents and non-parents.
Oh, nice. Okay. So one more question for me, then we'll go to Renee. So what do y'all think, when you see a lot of people on social media, the bigger women now, right? So a lot of bigger women are having that confidence, and they're coming on social media, and they're showing themselves in their bathing suit, two pieces, showing the cellulite, showing stretch marks. And you see people judging them, or somebody will come under the comments and say something nasty, but then the skinny person is right beside them in the same outfit, and everybody's loving that pictures. What are y'all thoughts on that?
That's like leader cons to yourself. I don't want to comment if I'm big. I don't want to comment if I'm small. Like, don't comment on my body. I know that I look good. That's it.
Right.
I hate it when people, like, make a comment about me being skinny. Like, you don't know what I'm going through. Right. You don't know, like, the struggle it takes to, you know, for those of us that are skinny naturally, it takes a lot to even gain weight to look healthy, as what people would say is healthy.
Right.
Right. I feel you, sister.
I think it's hypocritical, really. I mean, you have a full figured woman showing her cellulite. Cellulite is real. You know, it is real. Okay. Women have it.
And here's the deal, Keisha.
a skinny woman has cellulite.
A skinny woman has it too.
I was just going to say, we've got cellulite, we've got stretch marks, we've got all of those stuff.
Right, yeah. I love the fact that the larger women are exposing themselves just because I believe in desensitization or, you know, it's like you overdo it, then maybe the public will become softer to it. They'll maybe understand it more, maybe be less harsh. Maybe they won't. But mm-hmm. I think it's very freeing that, hey, this is my body. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, you're slim, medium, big, extra big, whatever you are, why can't I be comfortable at a pool? Why can't I be comfortable at the beach? What am I supposed to wear?
Right.
So I like that they're doing it. The comments, of course, they're not kind. So.
Right. What do you think, Reginald, as a guy?
That I love it. as a guy who, well, I like all types of shapes of women, really. So seeing the bigger women being more confident and, you know, showing themselves and wearing the two-piece and maybe showing a little cellulite, I see it as I'm glad, I am happy that they are comfortable with their body and comfortable enough to wear an outfit that maybe you were probably more people will want to see on a slimmer woman rather than a bigger woman. I'm glad that they're having that confidence now, saying, look, I'm beautiful too. I love my body. I'm in love with that. I'm in love with my body as well. I feel like the reason why you're seeing more of that is they're tired of those women in that category are tired of that same image of that slim, you know, perfect body woman. They're tired of in a small way being oppressed by saying, like, look, this is what we're seeing. So now we're putting out this image that we love of ourselves.
Right.
It is similar to what I've told people about the LGBT community, where I said the reason why that community is so flamboyant and so out there in your face is because they were told to be in the corner, be by themselves. So they were oppressed in that sense. And now they're out there. And I'm like, yo, and I look at people that say they don't want to see that for both groups as, yo, that's your fault. The reason why they're like that is because you told them for so long that they weren't beautiful, they wouldn't be accepted. And now they all got together and be like, no, we're all beautiful. Let's just show the world how beautiful we are. And now that's what we're seeing. There are people out there like, whoa. And I'm like, the reason why that is because you told them they weren't beautiful or they wouldn't be accepted for so long. But they found people that felt the same way and they accepted each other. Then they showed the world, look, this is who we are.
Right. Good. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all. And Renee has some questions as well. So.
Okay. So just to change gears a little bit. So this is kind of flipping it a little bit. We're talking about body image, but we're talking about now being personal. So do you think it's important for women to know their bodies? And do you think women know their bodies as much as they should? Shelby, what do you think?
I absolutely think it's important for women to know their bodies. And I would say that this year, I really prioritized that for myself. What I've started to realize is that just when it comes to sexuality and just different images that we see on TV, it's not real life. And what I'm seeing, like, that doesn't work for me, and that's okay. And I'm going on a journey to figure out, like, what does it take for me and what makes me happy sexually? And let me be more clear on that so I can get what I need.
Right.
And I'm talking about all the extra stuff that I see. Because TV, porn, that's not real life, at least for me. And I can go more detail if y'all want, but...
Nina, what do you think?
I think I'm with Shelby on that one as well. And I think it's really important for women to know their bodies, especially when sexually. You have to know what turns you on. You know, it's important. I think in a relationship, that's really, really important because you're able, because I'm you know, a huge advocate and proponent of, you know, open communication in the bedroom. Like, I'm not going to just lay down there and be like, okay, when is this going to be over? No. you know, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'll be nice, but I'll be like, okay, this. Oh, this doesn't work for me. You know, so, I mean, I'm not like an over-the-top person. So, Yeah, so I think it's really, really important because once you have that, you know, once you have that knowledge of your body, you know, and you have that open communication with your partner, then I think it just really it strengthens the relationship more, you know, it blossoms more, because then in that sense, there's no miscommunication, you're not pretending or faking anything. You know, you're just being honest and open, and I just think everybody's happy when that happens. So it is really, really important, you know, for us as women to know our bodies. To know.
Okay. Jennifer, do you think masturbation is important for women, and why?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how are we going to make it?
She did not say that.
If we just wait around on them, how would we make it? No, I think it's important. I think it should be talked about more. I have daughters, and I say to myself, like, you know, nobody really talks to me about anything like this. And I don't really with them either, but I say to myself, I feel like I should. I feel like it's almost like taboo talk about it amongst girls, but it is natural. We all did it when we were younger. We all, you know, do it today. And I just don't know how young people really start, girls really start doing it, or what's appropriate to talk about. But I think that we should be more open about our communication, because I think it's natural. And if they're doing it anyway, then, right, you know, maybe some guidance there so that they don't feel dirty about it or feel bad about it. I'm all about empowerment of women, people in general. I think that with boys, I've had a lot of cousins and stuff, and we would always just make jokes like, oh, we know what he's doing in there. He's been in the shower a long time. But with girls, nobody's making these jokes. Nobody's saying, like, we're not allowed to talk about it. I think it is absolutely important to have communication about it and to do it, because it, like, you know, the first question with knowing our bodies, you know, that is a really good step to knowing what you like, and then to being comfortable with yourself. If you're more comfortable with yourself and what you like, then you can be with your partner, and you'll have more confidence. And it's almost like if you're not afraid to give yourself that pleasure, then you won't be afraid to ask for whatever you want out of your partner. So.
Exactly. Right. Anybody else want to tackle that question?
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's a little different for me, because I'm not exactly sure. This is weird. This is really, really weird, because I've never actually had question like that asked before. Never had a conversation like that before either. But I guess on that matter, you know, it's I don't do it. Not that I mean I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't want to say I've never done it. I don't know. But it's just not, first of all, it's not a comfortable, how do I explain that?
Conversation?
It's not about the conversation per se. I mean, in terms of, like, I guess, because it's never been talked about, and Jennifer was right, because it's not something that was really talked about, especially with girls. So I never had that conversation of, you know, hey, this is what it is, this is what you do. I never touch myself, actually. I don't really do it in terms of knowing my body. I just you know, it's my husband, and I just, like, that doesn't work, or let's try something else. That's the only way. So it's not like, so I'm not, you know, like, I haven't known my body, because I've experimented on myself and all of that. And I guess maybe just growing up, you know, and from a Christian perspective, Catholic specifically, that's, like, frowned upon. So never really had to deal with, you know, the whole, you know, masturbation thing. And being a mom, two boys now, I'm telling you, I'm dreading it, because they're like, it's probably going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right. No, I get it. I get it completely. All right. So, Keisha and Heather Jennifer touched on it a little bit when she mentioned the fact that she has children. She has daughters or children. Did you mention daughters, Jennifer?
Daughters.
Right.
Yeah.
So given the fact that Heather and Keisha, you guys also have daughters. Do you think it's important for you guys to talk to them about or encourage your daughters to get to know their bodies and why?
Honestly, while she was talking about it, it's a very uncomfortable topic. Mm-hmm. To even bring, and my daughter's 19 now, and we're talking about us to tell our kids, it would be uncomfortable for me, because how do I start that conversation with my daughter, like, I don't even know how to start formulating that conversation. Like, you need to know your body. So this is how you do. You tell them how to do it. It's, I'm going to be honest. It's uncomfortable. But I know those conversations need to be had.
Right.
But how do you start those conversations? So,
right. Keisha,
and at what age?
Right. At what age? Exactly. Keisha, what do you think?
For me, I think it's very important to have these discussions. And, you know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine a while ago, and we were talking about the vagina. And she said to me, do you call it a vagina when you're talking to your daughter? I said, yeah. I said, it's a vagina. And she said, why did you put it that way? Now, the person who I was talking to is Jamaican, and goes back to cultural influences. I think talking about the vagina is so taboo in the Jamaican culture that she's asking me, like, you really talk to her, but I think they're too young. And I was like, no, a vagina is a vagina. They need to know it's a vagina. And so I think I call it a vagina, and my kids know that it's a vagina. So I think in terms of being comfortable, it's not going to be comfortable because we have never been exposed to it ourselves, but we just have to break the cycle. We've got to bring it up at some point to our kids.
Absolutely.
YouTube, if you don't know how to just bring up a conversation, so you really need to do it. I think it's very important because you don't want them to grow up as adults and be uncomfortable like us, because I feel like masturbation to me was something that I like recently in my adult years started really doing. I mean, before that, like, what? Like, masturbation? Like, Jamaican woman masturbating? Taboo. So, I think it's very important having those conversations.
Okay.
Just to piggyback off of what she just said, it's really important. These are uncomfortable discussions, but they're discussions that need to be had, especially with the kids. And you rather do them yourself. You rather have those conversations yourself, or else they're going to go out there and get them from some knucklehead who tell them what, you know, the wrong thing. And then probably try to experiment with them and things like that. So as much as it is uncomfortable, it is, you know, it is something that we have to do on our own, you know, and as parents, and Keisha just said, like, we're uncomfortable talking about it right now, because I'm so uncomfortable right now, you have no idea, because it's never, honestly, that's what I'm feeling right now, like, oh, she just, and that's what we really need to, you know, we're laughing right now, but it is a serious conversation that and we have to do it in order, you know, for our kids so they know and they don't go getting wrong.
Right.
Shelby, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that, I mean, I totally get what you guys are saying, and it's uncomfortable to talk about masturbation, but even when we're talking about it now, like, there's different types of masturbation. And I know when I was growing up, like, I just thought, like, some people had dildos and would use them. And that scared me. And I knew that that wasn't for me. And so I was like, oh, like, what's this other thing right here? Let me rub on that and see what happens. I thought I was a pioneer. Right? Like, I didn't know that that's what other people are doing. I still don't know what other people are doing.
Right.
Like, that's part of it. Like, not, you know. Some things that we see, it might work for some people, it might not work for others, you know? So, all different types of masturbation.
But
we're comfortable talking about it and making it be clear that we pretty much all do it, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Reggie, do you think a man can assess how confident a woman is about her body based on his sexual encounter with her, and why would you say that?
That would depend on how open she is, or how smoothly things go when they actually have sexual relations. It would really depend on that. But some women can be a little bit timid. They kind of want the man to take the lead, and then there are women that are, look, I know what I like, I know what I want, this is what I want. And those women are the ones I would say are the most confident, the women that know how they want to have sexual relations, what they want their partner to do too.
Okay. And this is for like everyone. Do you believe that a woman, and we touched on this a little bit, but do you believe that women's knowledge of their bodies have a direct connection to how they enjoy sexual pleasure? We touched on that, right? So at what capacity do you think? Do you think that when we say the knowledge, because this can be broad, because I think automatically when you say knowledge of the body, people automatically's mind went to masturbation. And I'm sure it's not just limited to masturbation. But it could be you just knowing inherently your body and what would feel good, right? So anybody want to expound on that, Shelby?
Yeah, so I guess going along with my kind of sexual journey for the year, one thing that I realized is that, like, I had an issue where I would see people in whatever, movies, porn, whatever it is, and it seemed like they would be, like, ready for sex just like that. And I thought there was something wrong with me, where it's like, all right, like, I guess I just need a lot of lube, like, I don't know, but it's really just, you know, I think foreplay is a thing, right? Like, we don't talk about that enough either, and that, like, I just need to be warmed up a little bit in order to, like, really enjoy it, and so that piece of knowing my body has helped, and then also helped me be proactive, because I'm like, look, there are times that, you know, maybe we don't have the time for foreplay, and so I actually found a lube inserter, which has been helpful. So you get the party started, like, you know, like that.
There you go.
You know what you need.
I love that.
Right.
Jennifer, what do you think?
Google.com, lube insert.
Right? Google.
Well, I love that she's proactive about it. I think way too often, you know, maybe we just want to lay there and let the man do everything. And sometimes I would maybe feel bad if the man has to do that, because if they don't even know you that well, and then they're just like on center stage, they have to have this whole big performance and they don't even know what we like. So I think that that's great to be proactive, right? That they're new. So I think that's great to be proactive about it. I think that we should know what we want or explore, go on a journey. You know, I was with a partner for a long, 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 long time. So, you know, it's like a completely new journey for me now of what am I going to like with a different person? Is that
right.
Different person going to know what I like? So I think that I would absolutely have to be proactive about it. And I think it's great to know your body, not even just in a sexual way or what you like, but also know when you're ovulating, know the different signs of what you're going through, feel the different things. If you have pain in your breast or pain in your abdomen, you know, notice it. I think that we're always just plunging along in life because we have so much to do, and we're not even noticing the signs that our body is telling us. Mm-hmm. And it could be something that's leading towards a health issue.
Right.
Which is, I know, a different topic, but that came to mind as well.
Oh, no, but that's also knowing your body, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. I get it. So, Reggie, being the only man on this panel, I'm very curious. Not that you represent all men's perspective, but, you know, you are a perspective. Yeah. I have a perspective. So women oftentimes have issues, as you can we talked about, with their bodies. And, you know, oftentimes cellulite is an issue, maybe stretch marks, etc. Do you believe that the things that we focus on, and again, this was touched upon just a bit, but not quite. Do you believe that the things that women focus on, maybe cellulite, maybe stretch marks, etc. Do you think that a guy actually sees that per se as a focus, or And if so, what is it that you guys see when you guys look at us? Because when we mention these things and flaws that we see about our bodies, what is it that you see? Do you see these flaws and these things that we talk about our bodies?
The majority of the time, we do not see those flaws that you see because of the fact that we're looking at the parts of you, or we're trying to enjoy the parts of you that we find attractive. So we're attracted to legs, we're attracted to head, leg, whatever, like, as far as physically, I should say. We're trying to enjoy those things or look at those things that we enjoy about the whatever woman that we're interested in. So, like, when women say, I don't like how this looks on me, or I don't like how, like, a lot of those things we won't notice until, like, we've been around you for maybe a long time. Like, a lot of times, like, women will say, yeah, no, I'll give them one comment, hey, I like this about you, and it'll be something that they're actually insecure about. So, like, I'll be like, oh, I like the way this looks on you. And they're like, well, actually, and I'm like, and it'll be something that I didn't even notice, but they brought my attention to it, now I notice it.
Right. Exactly.
You're kind of telling yourself a little bit.
I've noticed that
a lot about women, where I've given them a compliment, oh, I like the way this looks on you, or I like this part of your body, and they're like, well, no, I don't really like how this crooked here, and I'm like,
yeah,
notice that, okay. Now I do, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of,
social media. It's a delight having you guys.
I got you.